It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Tom Scootley is the president of the Roaring Fork Fly Fishing Club. For the last several years, first time we talked, you were getting ready for the Iron Fly competition, and you're actually getting ready to do that probably next year again.
February 1st is the next Iron Fly.
Okay. And
the fifth annual? Yes.
Has it really been that many?
It has.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having a good time.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
It does.
You're actually having a yard sale this Saturday.
We are having a yard sale with our membership. And people that know about the club, they donate lots of stuff. Rods, reels, clothes, fly boxes, nets, all kinds of stuff. So I have a whole garage full of this stuff, and we decided, let's have a yard sale, see what we can do, get some people into the sport at a reasonable price.
Okay. Would you equate this kind of like to the ski swaps that occasionally happen from time to time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a lot like that. We have a few people that'll bring some stuff in privately, and if that works, we just ask them to give us a donation to the club, and the money proceeds from the yard sale will go for the Iron Fly. Kids programs that we do partner a lot with Roaring Fork Conservancy for kids programs, beginner fly fishing programs, and Healing Waters is another one, Project Healing Waters, which is vets. We've been probably 6, 7, 8 years with those guys out of Colorado Springs, which is a great organization for those guys and for us to be able to help them.
Doesn't get much more relaxing than out fishing somewhere.
I mean, with the Healing Waters group, these guys have PTSD pretty bad in some cases. Once we get them in the boat and start fishing, it's like a light bulb goes on and, hey, I'm a normal person today, and they're just like everybody else. It's great. It's just amazing to see the changes in them.
So you actually fish from a boat with those guys?
Yeah.
Interesting. Fly fishing as well?
Oh,
See, when I think of fly fishing, I think of the hip waders out in the middle of the river or whatever, you know.
We do that, too. We do that, too.
was that a pretty close sound effect there?
Yeah, it was. All right. It was great.
How often do you bring those guys up from Colorado
Springs? That's once a year.
Okay.
In the fall, usually.
Okay.
This year we had a problem. Not a problem. The Cystic Fibrosis had a tournament.
Oh.
Avalanche Ranch had a tournament. And we had our Healing Waters guys. So there was way too many boats on the river.
Was this the Roaring Fork then, I assume?
Roaring Fork in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But there's plenty of room for everybody. Everybody had a wonderful time, and that's what it's all about.
Reminds me of night fishing.
Yeah.
Make too much noise when you catch a fish night fishing, and in about 5 minutes, everybody will be circled around your boat.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
By the way, the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club yard sale happens this Saturday from 10 to 1 at the Roaring Fork Conservancy, which you mentioned on Two Rivers Road. They're just outside of Basalt. Their brand new building is been a year, 2 years since they finished that?
About a year and a half, I believe. Yeah.
I know they just finished the sidewalk in front of the Roaring Fork Conservancy here in the last couple months.
Last couple of days.
Is it that recently? Everything cleared up.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, deadlines can be moved depending on weather and that kind of thing, right?
And we partner quite a bit with Roaring Fork Conservancy on different programs. So, I mean, they're a great partner for us, and they let us use their space. We help them out with different groups, and and we also have a thing called the Project Mayfly, which we've been involved with the last couple of years, and that is a foster kids program based out of Arkansas, and we have 4, 5, 6 mentors here, so we get a group of kids, foster kids. The last couple of years they've been from Parachute Rifle area. And they come up and we give them a 5-week program, mentoring with fly fishing. And it's amazing to see these kids change.
How much time will you spend with those kids over the course of 5 weeks?
We spend 3 to 4 hours once a week for 5 weeks.
That's quite a bit,
yeah.
Actually.
Oh, yeah.
I could have, obviously, was not a foster kid, but I could have used some help when it came to fly fishing is, I mean, I will drown a worm any day of the week.
Right.
But fly fishing is one of those things that has always just seemed kind of like magic to me. Well, you know what I mean?
It's like anything else. You know, once you get the hang of it, it's there.
And maybe it's because I've heard so many horror stories about somebody standing a little too close when you're casting.
That happens, too. That happens, too. There's a thing called etiquette.
These are rites of passage, right?
Yes, which some people know about and some people don't have a clue about. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's
right.
It works out.
Sure, you bet. Do you fish with lures and bait as well on occasion? So not at all?
Well, myself personally, once in a while I do.
Okay.
If I go to lakes,
right,
I will more so than on rivers.
A majority of the Roaring Fork and the Frying Pan are fly fishing only, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can also use a spinning rod with a fly on it. It doesn't say that you have to have a fly rod. And with the programs that we do, I personally and two or three of the other guys in our group volunteered with the fish survey with the CPW this year, which is electroshocking the river.
Which is a no-no for most people.
Right.
But
it is
absolutely
a no-no. And we did 4 sections of the Frying Pan on a Thursday and a Friday.
So and do you, when you do that survey, is it always the same spots so that you keep track of how many fish are in that exact spot?
They try to keep the same spots, which are kind of a average of what the river is.
Gotcha. Okay. But, you know, from a scientific standpoint, you want to keep the control as the same as much as you can.
Exactly.
So how many, I'm curious, can you share this information with us? How many fish you counted in those surveys?
Oh, well, I can't share the number yet because we don't know for sure.
Okay.
But I will guarantee you it was over 1,500 fish in about 500 yards of river.
Wow.
From
See, that makes it even more frustrating.
It is.
when you're trying to catch them and they're not coming up.
It is. And we had fish from 2 inches long to 2 feet long.
A majority of those are sport fish like rainbows?
Most of them are browns.
Oh, really?
And because there are so many browns in the rivers, especially the Frying Pan, the CPW is encouraging everyone to take 2 fish out of there every time you go.
Interesting. Okay.
Because you get too many fish in the river and they can't get any bigger.
Right.
There's only so much food to produce.
So speaking of the size, about how big were the fish that you were counting? I'm obviously they run the gamut, but
right.
I mean the biggest. How big were they?
The biggest one was about 2 feet, 24 inches.
Okay,
and
which is about spawning
pounds.
Size, right?
Yeah,
for a brown. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the biggest ones were rainbows, which was great.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
And
of course, browns and rainbows are both non-native species.
Right. Well, there really isn't anything on the western slope that has a native fish in it.
No kidding.
The greenback cutthroat, there's like 2 spots in the whole state that have the original Colorado state fish over by Colorado Springs.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Is it like, was it 10 Mile Reservoir that's just outside of Colorado Springs?
Right.
Down there in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Again, you can help support the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club. I knew I missed a word and I couldn't figure it out. I keep reading my notes. It's like, what is missing? Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club by attending the yard sale this Saturday from 10 to 1. So is it members of the club, Tom, that are bringing all the fly fishing supplies out and then the money that's raised will go to the Fly Fishing Club, obviously, but do you encourage other folks? Like the ski swap? Do you encourage them to bring their fly fishing gear out?
We will have some room for that. Okay. If people want to bring some stuff out to sell, What we ask is you bring it between 9 and 9:45 on Saturday, okay. Have it tagged, name, price, that kind of stuff, and pick it up at the end of the day. Okay. So I don't end up with trying to find 72 different people.
You're trying to clear out your garage, not
yeah,
add
not
to
add
the garage.
To it, exactly. And then, like I said, all the proceeds go to the Project Mayfly, the Healing Waters, the Conservancy Club groups that we do for beginning fly fishing and kids. And there's more and more programs starting every year with school kids, usually middle school. There's a program in Newcastle right now where the instructor is doing a full-year program for these kids. So
that's awesome.
I think our Iron Fly, which will be February 1st of next year, I think it's going to be just overloaded with middle school kids, which is great. I mean, those kids get fired up. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
We love it.
There's nothing better than catching a fish.
Yeah.
Well, few things better than catching
right.
a fish. You have a Facebook page, website, anything like that where folks can get more information?
We do have a Facebook page, Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club.
All right. Again, the yard sale is this Saturday from 10 to 1 at the Roaring Fork Conservancy on Two Rivers Road in Basalt. Again, if you have anything that you think is worthwhile, you can drop it off between 9 and 9:45 on Saturday, and then you stop back after 1 o'clock and pick up whatever is left.
Yes.
Back to talk a little bit more with Tom in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting with Tom Scootley, the president of the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club, their yard sale fundraiser this Saturday, 23rd from 10 to 1 at the Roaring Fork Conservancy in Basalt. It was several months ago that someone was pointing out the definition of conservancy to me. It means you're conserving. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not using. It means you're conserving.
Right.
And so Roaring Fork Conservancy, you know, they obviously encourage healthy use of the Roaring Fork and the frying pan. Rivers. Do they also get up the crystal as well?
Oh, yeah.
That's in the Roaring Fork drainage,
right.
So I would assume so.
Yeah, there's actually one spot, Fiola Meadows, I believe it's called, just past the hot springs, which is, if not the only, one of the very few spots in the state where there are fireflies. And they do a program in the summertime
that.
For that.
I had no idea that we had fireflies in Colorado.
Well, they don't, except for right there. So they're involved in watershed programs, you know, stream qualities. They have a water person there, Chad, who checks water and, you know, scientific things with it and keep a track of everything that goes on in the valley. And it's quite a program. They have a lot of stuff going on. Actually, tonight they have a CPW officer, Elizabeth Brown, which is giving a talk on invasive species for the lakes, like Rudai.
Right.
Rudai had 6 boats that they found that had a contamination on
the
them.
The quagga mussels?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they sprayed them and got them all set and ready to go, but it was the most in any state reservoir with 6.
Well,
so we're in
scary.
Really good shape
yeah.
in this state, and they figured most of those 6 boats probably came from Lake Powell.
Right, and which has been infested for
long time.
Years,
yeah.
years and years.
But that's tonight at 5:30 at the River Center also.
Interesting. I did not
Open
know
to the
about
public.
That. Okay. And it's free also,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
yeah. So you want to stop by and check that out tonight. Back to fly fishing. I remember my wife's uncle used to tie his own flies. And I always, again, if it's not something you do, it seems like
right.
magic. And
yes.
so I was always just amazed at the detail and the time that it takes to tie your own fly. I assume, obviously, if you're the president of the club, you probably tie a lot of your own flies.
I tie a lot of flies, yeah.
And it's the reason for that is when you're fly fishing, you're trying to mimic the look of what the fish are eating already, right?
Right.
So basically, if it's you're mayflies, taking,
yeah,
right?
Basically, you're taking a piece of wire and putting some chicken feathers on it and trying to make it look like a real bug to get the fish to eat it.
Right,
and
exactly.
We do another program, which is called Dry Flies and Wet Whistles. And what we do is go to different establishments in the valley. We just did one at Capitol Creek a week ago, I believe, at Tying Flies. Mm. And then we're going to Red Rock Diner on December 11th and do the same. And we just invite the public to come. If you know how to tie flies, that's great. You can help us. We can help you. If you don't know anything about it, sit down in a vise and learn how to tie a very simple fly. You can tie flies in 30 seconds or 30 hours, depending on what you're tying.
There's another term, dry flies. What does that mean? Does that mean it floats?
Yes.
Is that? Okay.
Yes. Dry fly is on top. Nymphs are on the bottom in the water column,
okay,
underneath the water.
All right. Yeah. So when you're casting, and we've all seen, I assume, you know, the fly fishing cast, you know,
right,
where you whip it back and forth and you kind of hold the slack in your other hand.
Right.
And then you try and drop it on top of where the fish are feeding.
Right.
So with a nymph that actually sinks, how would you do that? Would you still just pull it out of the water and then let it drop and sink into the water?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
There's not so much false casting is what it's called.
Is that okay?
With dry flies to dry them off and keep them floating.
Is that the point? Of,
yeah.
Okay.
And
all right.
Obviously a nymph doesn't need to float, so the
right,
it needs to
right,
sink.
I'm getting an education today. Send me a bill for the...
Yeah, I will. We do... A donation to the club would be great for that.
Do you take folks out that are curious about learning how to fly fish, by the way?
We have beginner classes.
Okay.
We end up with a few people here and there, friends and things that we do that with. I mean, we have limited time. We're all volunteers. Most of us are still working at some sort of job.
Gotcha.
So, you know how it is in the valley. But,
yeah,
yes, we do take a lot of people out. We do have beginner clinics. And, I mean, it's great. These people come in not even knowing what a fly rod looks like. And at the end of the day, they're casting and most of the time catching some fish on ponds.
I could identify with the fly rod.
Yeah.
Which one is the fly rod? You know,
right.
But actually doing anything with it meaningful would be a completely different story.
It takes a lot of practice.
Is Facebook the best way to get in touch with you, by the way, if folks have any questions or want to learn more about the club?
Facebook or email. The email is rfvffc@gmail.com.
RFVFFC, as in Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club.
Yes.
Okay, at Gmail. And again, just search Facebook for Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club.
Yeah.
And you can keep up to date with any of these activities.
Right.
It's interesting. You say, you know, members of the club are still working, have real jobs. You're volunteering to be members of the club. Yet you do a lot of stuff.
We do.
You know, the Project Mayfly with the kids from Arkansas that come
right,
in.
Well, these are local
I'm sorry,
kids, but it's a foster program based out of Arkansas.
Based in Arkansas.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I was like, why did I write down Arkansas? I remember you saying that they were local foster kids. Project Healing Waters, of course, with the veterans with post-traumatic stress.
Right.
And then, of course, you partner with the Roaring Fork Conservancy a lot, like this Saturday for the annual yard sale this Saturday from 10 to 1. Again, if anybody has any fly fishing instruments,
right,
tools that you'd like to get rid of and try and help out Roaring Fork Conservancy, how much do you – would the I said Roaring Fork Conservancy.
Yeah.
I meant the Fly Fishing Club. How much will the club take if you do sell those items for folks? Are you taking just a donation? Or
just a donation,
okay,
whatever they feel is right.
Okay. So when you tie with flies, one of the coolest things I think I ever saw, again, my wife's uncle, who did a lot of
right,
fly fishing back in the days, he had actually a fly fishing set, which was basically like two small vices that you can kind of hold everything in place. And
right,
I remember looking at that and thinking, you know, that'd be great for soldering.
Yeah. Well, we have one gentleman, Drew Soliday, young kid here in the valley, that he's won the Iron Fly a couple of times, and he uses vice grips for his vice to hold the fly.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of different options.
Right.
Vice grips are $10, and you can buy a vice for $600, $700, $800 if you want to. So there's options.
Right, yeah, exactly. and everything in between.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fly tying is a very personal thing.
It is.
Everybody has their own technique, or those that do it a lot anyway,
yes.
I've noticed. And it's still so interesting to me how you can do that by, you know, wrapping the string around the hook, and it comes out, and it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
I'd eat. If if flies and mayflies, that kind of thing, were my thing, I would go right for it.
Well, the big thing with tying flies is you want to catch fish with them. So the flies that you buy in the retail stores around the valley and the country and everything, they're really nice, beautiful looking flies. Everything is just right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, you don't sell those flies. The fish don't really care. I tie some of the ugliest flies you've ever seen in your life, but they catch fish. So
at the end of the day,
yes,
that's really what matters.
That's right.
Right?
Something tugging on your line.
Gotcha.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I have gotten a fly wet, but I used a fly in a bubble.
Right.
On a regular, you know, casting rod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, but I've never caught anything.
Yeah.
When a fish hits a fly, does it feel generally the same as if you were fishing with a lure or bait or anything like that?
Okay. It feels a lot like that. With the spinning rods are a little bit shorter. The fly rods are average fly rod these days is probably 9 feet.
Right. And that's to help you cast it out there, right? When
you're
what did you call that? False casting?
False casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which the intent of that is to dry out the fly.
Well, a lot of times when you do that too, you'll get knots in your lines and things. And there was a gentleman that just passed away this year, Lefty Cray, who is probably the best caster ever. Anytime, and everybody calls those wind knots. And
okay,
Lefty Cray says there is no such thing as a wind knot. It's called a bad cast. And you'll see everything.
He's much more honest than I am.
Yes. But like I said, this guy could take a half a rod and throw 100 feet of line, or no rod. And throw 100 feet of line. I have a hard time getting 30 feet.
Well, I'm thinking a fly setup.
Yes.
100 feet of line with a fly on the end of it, which does not weigh that much.
It weighs nothing.
The biggest weight I can find to put on the end of it so that I can get all the way to the end of the
line, not the fly, in fly fishing.
Interesting. Okay.
And so you have the big fly line, and then you have a leader on that, and then a tippet on that, and then your fly. So
I know the fly line, of course, is the stuff that floats.
Yeah.
And then a leader is pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
A tippet?
Tippet is the very end piece that you tie onto the leader to tie your fly to. Tippet is basically a leader also.
Okay.
But it comes in X's, 0X down to like 12X, which is the size of the leader. 0 is pretty heavy. 12 is very thin, less than a pound breakage.
So if I were to compare that to the snelled hooks that I would put bait on, that's the little short piece of line that's attached to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send me a bill.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is get you out someday.
There you go.
And catch a fish on a fly rod.
There you go. the rest of today's looking pretty good.
Well, maybe. Before the wind starts, before the storm.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, a foot of snow above 8,500 feet.
Yes.
That would make Rudeye look pretty good, which, of course, would make the frying pan and the Roaring Fork look really great next spring.
It.
Yep. Again, Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club annual yard sale. It is the annual,
well,
right?
Well, I think it will be. It depends on how things go. This is the first one, and I don't know of one that's been in the valley. Well, there was one many years ago at Third Street Center.
Okay.
And that turned out pretty well.
Well, so. Third Street Center hasn't been there that long,
right.
So that's fairly recently.
And we're going to have everything from nippers and nets and hemostats, and actually one guy's got a canoe, so we'll have a canoe there for sale.
Okay.
So pretty cheap.
Anything that relates to fly fishing.
Yes. Yes.
Again, this Saturday, 10 to 1 at the Roaring Fork Conservancy in Basalt. Again, if you have anything related to fly fishing that you'd like to get rid of, stop by between 9 and 9:45, check it in, and they'll label it and everything.
Right.
Then come back after 1 o'clock and pick up whatever
did not sell
and pick up whatever else you bought in the ensuing hours.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
typically how it works, right?
Yes.
Again, if you want to learn more, you can get in touch with the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club on Facebook. Just search for Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club, and you can email them rfvffc@gmail.com. Back for some final thoughts in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, Tom Scootley, the president of the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club, is here with us today. The big call to action is the yard sale this Saturday from 10 to 1. Again, it's a fundraiser for the Fly Fishing Club. Helps support those projects throughout the year, like Project Mayfly, Project Healing Waters, of course, the Ironfly competition, which is currently scheduled for next February 1st. On the Roaring Fork. Again, I didn't say where.
It'll be a tipsy trout again.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the yard sale.
Is at the Conservancy at Old Pond Park in Basalt. Easy to find.
Can't miss it. Right on Two Rivers Road,
yeah.
The back road, if you will,
right.
Into Basalt. Brand new, beautiful facility there. So again, stop by anytime between 10 and 1. And maybe pick up some fly fishing stuff you never knew you needed.
That's right. And, we will have it.
Canoe if you're looking for it,
yes.
As well. How long has this organization been around, the Fly Fishing Club?
We started 2014. We had, in 2013, we had the U.S. National Finals here for the U.S. fly fishing team. And somehow I got on the committee and a couple other friends. And during the committee meeting, somebody said, "We need a fly fishing club. Tom, you're in charge."
And the rest is history.
The rest is what it is. I don't know about history, but yes.
How many other members of the fly fishing club are there?
On the email list, we probably have over 100 people that have signed up to be in the club. Okay. And if anybody wants to email, say, "I'd like to be a part of the club," just send me an email saying that, and I'll put you on the list.
Dues or anything like that?
No. Our dues are, we hope that we get some participation from some of our members.
Do you have regular meetings?
Not really. Okay. Our regular meetings are like the dry fly and wet whistles.
Okay.
Tine flies, and we get a group of members together and hopefully, like I said, bring in new people. Usually we go to an adult establishment, restaurant, bar, and we end up with the kids while mom and dad are having dinner tying flies, which is great. I mean, last year we had a little 3-year-old girl. I want to do that.
That's
so
awesome.
I mean, it's great to do that. And some people bring their kids just to that. They have dinner and then they come over and they'll sit down and tie flies. We have adults that have taken up the activity, and we could have anywhere from 5 to 15 people.
Reminds me, when you're talking about kids, reminds me of the Mickey Mouse fishing poles that our girls caught their first fish on way back when. So there's the next project, Tom, is you need to develop a kid's fly fishing pole.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they have them.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
There's a couple of different companies that make them. They're a little bit shorter, and they're reasonably priced, which can be a key thing for a lot of people in fly fishing.
Sure.
But they do have 3 or 4 different companies make, not specifically called children's fishing rods, but entry-level things, and they're They're good.
Maybe a little bit shorter than the adult version and maybe a little more flexible kind of thing.
Because they're not as tall or as strong and stuff like that. So a shorter rod is a little bit better for kids.
A little easier to manage.
Yeah. Because a lot of the kids that we get are young. They're middle school. So we have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds a lot in these programs. And sometimes it can be a real chore. But once they get this thing figured out, because a lot of the programs will have a entomology class, which is a study of the bugs.
Right.
So they're in the river, in the ponds, collecting bugs, and they would rather do that than fish any day.
Right.
But keep them interested, and then at the end of the week, we go to private ponds around the valley that have a lot of fish in them, and they usually catch fish every time they go. But it's great fun with the kids.
Do you, speaking of looking at the entomology and looking for the bugs, obviously that's a part of the tie flying as well. Do you do research? I mean, do you try and see what kind of bugs are in any, or is it generally the same kind of type in this area?
Well, after so many years, it's pretty much the same type in there. But sometimes it's kind of fun. I have a little seine net that goes over my dip net for fish.
Okay.
That I... You know, you get a person upstream from you, a foot or two or three, and just kind of shuffle their feet a little bit, and you put this thing in there, and you would be just amazed at the size of the bugs that you see. They're so tiny, most of them.
Right.
And to see these fish that are 24 inches, how many of those things do they have to eat every day to get to 24 inches?
Right, yeah.
You know, it's,
Well, it's funny, amazing. You know, when I go, when I'm looking for a lure, I always go for the biggest one, right?
Right.
Because I figure a big lure is going to catch a big fish.
Right.
But that's not always the case.
No.
And with not flies or with lures or bait or anything else.
Well, the world record muskie was caught back in the Midwest in Hayward, Wisconsin. And the lure that caught this fish, which was... over 60 inches, and I mean, it was huge.
Was and 35 inches of that was teeth.
Yeah. But it was a 4-inch lure that caught that big fish.
Wow.
So, you never know.
Now, is a muskie kind of like a pike? Do you want to make them angry?
Well, right, they're probably the top predator in the waters.
Oh, yeah, without question. But I remember somebody told me that when you're trying to catch a pike, you don't necessarily want something that's going to eat. You want something that's going to make it mad.
Yeah, exactly.
Which doesn't take much.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Why did somebody once refer to a pike as a freshwater barracuda?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty accurate.
Yes, it is.
Again, you can help support the Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club by attending the yard sale this Saturday from 10 to 1. If you can't make it, but you still believe in what they do, maybe you want to learn more about fly fishing, you can keep in contact with them on Facebook. Just search for Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club. Tom, anything else we should talk about?
We do have a 501c3. If anybody feels the urge to help out kids and veterans and things like that, we do have the nonprofit status. So if anybody would like to write a check for the club to help with these programs, we'd be more than happy to accept it from them.
And you don't have any employees, so your administrative costs are
zero.
Yeah,
our expenses go for food and lunches, and with the vets we have barbecues for them.
That's cool.
After they fish, because they used to go to the restaurants, which you get a free dinner at a lot of the local restaurants here in Glenwood, but they had to quit fishing so early to be able to get cleaned up and get in and get the early dinner before the crowds. So we started doing barbecues. And
it's okay. They'll let you in with a little fish guts on leg.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's where a lot of the money goes to, is that kind of programs and, you know, the materials that – sure. When you're taking all these kids out, you go through a lot of tippet and flies and things. And so,
but still minuscule compared to actual salaries and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So, we don't have any expenses, really.
Again, if you want to get in touch, you can email rfvffc@gmail.com and search Facebook for Roaring Fork Valley Fly Fishing Club.
That's it.
Tom, it's a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be talking to you soon. Let me know next time you're doing the fish survey.
Okay.
That sounds like something I might be interested in.
It's a lot more work than
seeing.
You think. It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, but it was very interesting.
When you're counting that many fish, I imagine so.
Yeah, because they measure and weigh each one, every fish they catch.
Wow.
They put them in nets and holding pens.
Yeah, sure.
It's great. We will have a speaker, Kendall Backish from the CPW, probably late February, and we'll advertise that with the survey results.
And will that be also at the Roaring Fork Conservancy probably?
It depends how many people we get to sign up. But
okay,
yes, probably.
Enough. Okay.
Probably.
And again, Roaring Fork Conservancy is where the yard sale is, the fly fishing yard sale this Saturday from 10 to 1 on Two Rivers Road in Basalt. Tom, all the best.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.